You are now listening to The Scheist Podcast, when millions of opinions just aren't enough.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for being here for another episode of the Scheist Podcast. More specifically, welcome back to This Week at the Movies. This is a This Week, Last Week type of situation because ran into a little family emergency over the weekend, so things got shuffled around, but we did still see a couple of things, and we wanted to make sure that we checked off those boxes for you before we moved on to next week. So join us for this one as we talk about One of Them Days, Companion, and Love Hurts. Plus, we do a quick rundown of everything that came out for the release weekend of February 7th. It's This Week at the Movies, February 10th, 2025?
Are you ready?
Yes. Mid-water drinking.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm done crunching on chips for now. But they're so good.
They are.
The blue corn with the Trader Joe's home-style salsa especial.
And it's especially the Trader Joe's ones because we've gotten like blue corn from another grocery store and it's not the same.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just...
Trader Joe's knows what they're doing.
They do. This ain't a commercial for Trader Joe's, though. We shouldn't give them free plugs on the air.
Yeah, but we like Trader Joe's, so it's okay.
We do. That's fine. All right, TJ's, you're in the clear this time. Welcome back to This Week at the Movies. We got derailed over the weekend with a emergency room visit.
Not for us.
Not for us. Everything's okay. But if you've ever been to the ER in the middle of the night,
On a weekend.
Oh, especially. On a weekend, yeah. So you'll know that that is a minimum of 5 hours.
But, you know, it's interesting. Excuse me. Like we talked about before, like that's just the norm now here.
Which part?
The 5 to 6 hour wait.
Yeah.
And I'm watching The Pit and they're talking about like patient care and quality and everything. And they make the statement of, well, everyone immediately that walks in is going to have at least a 6 hour wait. So how is that quality? Like, we need more staff to get people seen faster. So I thought that was interesting. The timing.
Yeah.
And they say this on a TV show.
Accurate, at least. It's like number of beds and additional sort of facilities that are available. And that's kind of the struggle. But... it did take me being a little bit of a squeaky wheel. And I was like, squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know? So it's like, I'm not in there being an asshole, but just sit here with our thumbs up our asses waiting for nothing to happen.
Yeah.
The doctor will be with you in a minute, 2.5 hours later.
Yeah. And squeaking on the outside helped too.
Yeah.
In the waiting room.
Yeah. Squeak as much as possible. Just get answers. Like, what? I mean, I'm sure they hear it all the time.
Yeah, it just blows my mind because it's like, okay, if there was nothing like very, very wrong that would warrant more workup or hot, like, you know, being admitted and everything, wouldn't you want to get those patients out of there to free up beds for the ones who may need to be hospitalized longer term or that are higher level traumas potentially? So why not just like, hey, this one's good. I'm going to go talk to her and just get her out of here like 4 hours earlier.
Right. Like the timetable was got there around
11,
not brought back into a room until 2 o'clock.
Yep.
Doctor is not in the room until 4:15. And then once the doctor's in the room, blood draw was like 4:25. Then immediately moved her into a room with a bed. And then it was... an hour or so, 90 minutes after the blood draw to get the results and the discharge.
And that's because a nurse came in to give her something. And we said, we haven't heard from the doctor yet. Is the blood work back? And she's like, oh, yeah, it does look like it's back.
Well, because the nurse came in to give her potassium. So she was looking at the blood results. And I was like, oh, are they all in? all right. And then I just started wandering. I was like, I'm going to find somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So
this is why even when I probably should have in the past, yeah. I tell you, no, I don't want to go to the emergency room.
Yeah. But no, trust me. I get it.
Yes, I know you do. I'm just saying it's sad that that's where we're at right now, where it could be an emergency. But I'm like, I'm just going to wait it out and see if I make it through the night, because going to the emergency room is such a horrific experience.
Yeah. And being in the waiting room between gang fight almost breaking mm-hmm. out and Mrs. Neurovirus and norovirus.
Potentially, yeah.
And the other dude vomiting blood. Yeah, it was quite an eventful hospital trip.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was basically just like took an entire day off the calendar. And then like the next day we were wiped out, couldn't do much. I did get up and record for Bad Movies We Love. And then as soon as that was done, crawled into bed and slept for a few hours. But we're here. We did not get to see that many movies this week. You know, I was going to check off both Girl with the Needle and All We Imagine Is Light were the last two that I was like trying to make sure that I saw before I have to submit for this other awards thing that I'm doing. So still want to check those off, maybe tonight. But this week at the movies, it was just a trio of films. And we'll start with one of them days.
It was fun.
It was. I was looking forward to it, and I was not disappointed, I guess. I mean, I guess the only, not the only, but if I'm looking for a contemporary of this film, I would say like Friday. So this is reminds me a lot of Friday, but, you know, you put these two women in the lead with Kiki Palmer and SZA, and you just sort of let it do its thing, and being in that environment with them is a lot of fun. They have good chemistry together. It's funny, there is a character in that movie where I leaned over to during the movie, and I was like, this reminds me of this guy in our neighborhood who is just always hanging around, and he's like hitting on every woman he comes across. And I'm just like, it reminded me so much of him that I had to like it during the movie lean over to you and tell you, I'm like, oh, that's No Face right there. If he listens to this, he's gonna be pissed, but he probably doesn't even know what this is, so it should be fine. He doesn't know who I am, so
yeah,
double layers of protection.
Yeah, I think it's funny because someone had seen it before.
He was at the gym today.
Of course he was. Someone who had seen it before we saw it told me that verbatim. It's like a different version of Friday, or like a female-led version of Friday. And I was like, okay, so it's going to be fun. I think it was, I mean, I've always been a Kiki Palmer fan, but I don't think I've seen her do this kind of role. At least that I can remember or think of off the top of my head. And it was really fun to watch her have fun with this too. I'm curious, like, how much of it was scripted and how much of it was just like they improvised on the spot.
I could see that.
But it was fun. It was nice to have more of a lighthearted week of movies, of like not super critical thinking, just kind of have some comedy. I don't feel like we do that enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think just schedule wise, there's not that many good comedies like that are out. So like, okay, there's that one. We went to see another one today that we'll talk about in a little bit, but it's like Apples and Oranges, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Did we talk about You're Cordially Invited yet? We did.
We did. That was last week. That was the last one from last week. So, you know, we jumped from that into this one. And then I'm going to watch some depressing foreign films today and be right back where I belong.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, but no, this was a good movie. And I think it might be, even though it's like a spiritual sequel to Friday, maybe more than it is. It's not a direct sequel, but it might be a better sequel to Friday than any of the actual Friday sequels. Like, they do have their charms, but they're just, they don't recapture what the first one was. And this kind of, like, even has the same, some of the same, like, character archetypes, where they have, like, the scary bully who's, like, gets embarrassed and then is going to, like, beat somebody's ass kind of thing. And you have this problem that needs to be sort of solved by the end of the day, and, like, a looming specter of this larger problem. And, yeah, it's just, it was really well done. Funny. The performances are really good. Music's great.
Yeah, I think you said it. Their chemistry was fantastic.
Yeah, and this, like, if you had to ask me sort of to go into this and sort of predict where it would fall, like, on the critical rating scale, I would say, like, probably in the low to mid sixes, but it's got a 7.1 IMDb score, a 71 Metascore, so nice to see that it is recognized by both critics, like, appreciating that it is good, and also the fans, like, just moviegoers enjoying it, so it's nice to see both sides of that.
Yeah. And it was a pretty full theater, wasn't it, when we went?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like an afternoon during the week, yeah, right?
I think. I can't remember. But I still think it was pretty full theater. Full theater. Can you take that out?
No. I could, but I'm not going to. I don't have enough energy to edit all of it.
Of course you wouldn't.
It's fine. Full theater. Feet theater.
Exactly. Full theater. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I want to see more from Lawrence Lamont here, and I only see music videos up until this, so...
Interesting.
Yeah, it looks like there was some shorts and stuff back, like, 10 years ago, but... Yeah, TV series, directed 4 episodes of Rap Shit, and now this, so... Understanding the assignment... Doing the assignment well. Cyrita Singleton wrote the script. Also wrote for Rap Shit. Wrote for Insecure, 20 episodes of that. So I think a good pedigree for comedy. And honestly, if they made another one, I would probably watch it still. Yeah. Another one of them days.
True. They might. I don't know how this did box office wise.
Yeah, that's a good question. But I think the fact that it was received well enough and sort of appeared in a vacuum where there's not a lot like that competition-wise, so.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Check it out.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, and then number 2 on the list was Companion, which I think we were a little bit behind the curve on that as well, but happy to see that one finally, and it seems to have been getting some warm reception as well. It has a 7.3 IMDb, a 70 Metascore, written and directed by Drew Hancock, starring Sophie Thatcher, Jack Quaid, Lucas Gage.
I'm a bigger fan of Sophie Thatcher after seeing how diverse of roles she's done. And she's had a very good, like, year.
Yeah, like 18 months has been pretty good. You didn't even see the horror movie she did, like, beginning of last year range as well, which I thought was good. Most people kind of slept on and thought it was mediocre, but I thought it was solid.
Which one was that?
I think it was called Boogeyman. Yeah, The Boogeyman.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't see that one. I mean, it's been fun to watch her kind of grow a little bit in the roles that she's taking in her range. Excited that Yellow Jackets comes back this week.
Ooh, ooh.
Kind of weird for a Valentine's Day premiere, but we'll take it.
Yeah, at a glance, I wouldn't have expected her to be like the star that transitioned into like movie stardom after Yellow Jackets. But then after you watch the first season of Yellow Jackets, I think it's pretty readily apparent that she is like the best of the younger cast, which is why this is happening.
Yeah, it's just interesting, though, because I agree. I wouldn't have expected her, not from a talent standpoint, because they're all talented and she's phenomenal on Yellow Jackets. But it didn't grab me as the one that she would be the standout of, seeing her do a bunch of roles in between. But then again, it's been, what, 2 years since Yellow Jackets has been on?
Yeah, she's been working.
So she's been working, but it's still a little surprising that of all of them, she's the only one I feel like we're seeing doing other things.
Yeah.
Of that age range of the...
She's got a good agent.
She definitely is what does. It is.
Because, like, I like the Boogeyman, and she was featured as, like, a big part of the reason to go see that movie, and it's a big part of the reason that I went to see it. She was in Maxine, but, like, she wasn't the reason to go see Maxine. But then Heretic, she was, again, featured as, like, basically the lead opposite mm-hmm. Hugh Grant. Right. And then... the other girl that's the co-star with her was like someone I didn't really recognize. So again, just like positioning her well to have good opportunity. And she was very good in Heretic as well. So to put her in this position to do Companion and to succeed with it, I'm happy for her. I like the movie. I found that it articulated a very specific type of like frustration with the Jack Quaid type of character that's in this.
Mm-hmm.
And you see in the trailer that he's doing some fucked up stuff to her. And you sort of, I wish the movie would have played its cards closer to the chest so that that stuff was unveiled to me in the process of watching the film. And so I see why people are like, I don't watch trailers. I was like, I understand that, but then I would never know like what's out to watch. You know, I would just like see a bunch of titles on a screen and I would have no idea. So I understand the hesitancy to watch trailers because a lot of them feel the need to just force stuff into the trailer to like gain interest rather than focusing on what the actual movie is, because the first trailer I saw for it, I didn't really, maybe I wasn't paying attention fully, but I didn't catch like the thing. And in case people haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil that either. And now that I look at the poster, I'm like, oh, maybe they're already sort of giving that away. But there's a lot of language early in the film that does try to hide it. Like there's specific conversations where something happens where the phrasing of it is like, if you know, then the dialogue sort of acknowledges the thing that you know. But if you don't know, it's subtle enough to where that's you wouldn't just pick up on it automatically, I think. So it's an interesting balance because it's ultimately not what the movie is about, right? The movie is more about this shitty person doing shitty things. And really positioning Sophie's character to be the scapegoat for the shitty things that he does. And like he ends up going on a rant at some point in the movie about basically like his white male privilege and how he feels like he's entitled to certain things. And mm-hmm. so like the movie definitely hits home with that. And it's much more of a comedy than I expected. I'll say that it's much more of a dark comedy than I would have anticipated. And I see it listed there as the first thing. I was thinking more of like sci-fi horror or like psychological horror. And I was surprised at how much I laughed, but there was like a joke or two in the movie where it's like, it's something Jack Quaid says where like I heard laughter in the audience and I'm like, I was like, you really probably shouldn't be laughing at that. Like, I get that the delivery is funny and everything and that this movie is a dark comedy, but ultimately like it's a character you shouldn't be sympathizing with.
Mm.
So if you're laughing at it, like I think you're approaching that dialogue from like the wrong perspective, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know what line you're talking about.
Yeah, then. I would have to rewatch it and then I would tell you. But it's like, it's fairly early on and it's like sort of like a casual, like throwaway line about Sophie. And it's like, oh, okay. If you're still sort of on his side at that point, or you're forgiving of the fact that he's just like lonely and like, he feels like he deserves more and he's a good boyfriend. If you're still like in that loop, then you hear that line and it's like, okay, that's like, it's funny. But like, I think that's already been set aside by that point in the movie. And it's like, it's clear that he's in the wrong by the time that this line is delivered. And I don't remember the exact line either, but I remember hearing it and being like, ooh. And then I hear like laughter and I'm like, I'm like, I think you're missing the point if you're laughing at that, because there is stuff that's funny throughout the film. And even the way that that is delivered is funny. And Jack Quaid, like having come from The Boys where he's doing a lot of that type of comedy, I think that makes sense. And then we even see it in the trailer for Novocaine, which is like played to death at this point. And I would have preferred to see a lot of that stuff happen for the first time as well. I need to like go into the movie with blinders on and then have like a Nicole Kidman detector or something. So when she pops up, it's like, all right, it's time. But yeah, it's like taking advantage of Jack Quaid's personality type to deliver that piece of dialogue. But at that time in the movie, I feel like it's just, yeah, we've passed the point where this is actually funny. It's more like sad and fucked up that he's still saying that at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like from the beginning, I never got the like lonely, he's just lonely, like vibe from him. I also was kind of questioning like what year this was set in and if this was just like the norm.
I mean, it seemed like it.
Right? Like it was way far in the future.
I mean, he's got a fully self-driving Hyundai, so right. You're talking at least 5 to 10 years down the line, but like tangible enough where it's close, but not so far in the future where it's like everything is different.
Yeah. I mean, it was still good. She was fantastic, of course. And he was really good at being an ass, too. Yeah. But he plays that part well.
It reminded me a little bit of Don't Worry, Darling, in that particular light of how they play that male character of like they think that they're in the right and that they deserve something when very clearly acting in the wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the world we live in. Yeah.
So it does a very good job of that. And I'm glad to see that this one is getting positive reception as well. So yeah, 17,000 ratings already on IMDb and it's holding a 7.3. So
it's not bad.
Yeah, solid, solid. And then we didn't see anything over the weekend, which was the initial plan to catch up on those foreign films. But today we went to the movies and we saw Love Hurts. Mm-hmm. This was the other movie I was talking about when we were talking about sort of like alternative sort of straight comedies. Because this movie was definitely a comedy. I wish I laughed a lot more than I did with Love Hurts. I wish I was sadly more entertained than I was. Yeah, just something about it didn't work super well for me. I was happy for him, Kwan, to have the opportunity to make this movie after that. And I was like, of course, I'll watch anything that Marshawn Lynch does. So I have no issues with that. But aside from like the quality of the action scenes, the downtime, it felt like it was not spent very well. I feel like Ariana DeBose is not in the movie enough to make her like the central sort of fulcrum point for the story. It feels like it needed some flashbacks between the two of them. We get one briefly, but it needed a lot more backstory to who they are, because you look at a movie like Nobody with Bob Odenkirk, where he's retired CIA or something like that, and they just mess with the wrong guy, and he finally flips the switch and is like, no, I'm killing everybody at this point. That's kind of the same idea you're playing with, is that Key has tried to start some new life for himself, and he's trying to put his past behind him, but his past catches up with him, and he has to unleash this whole set of skills that have been sort of locked away, and you enjoy seeing the action part of it, but like the whole story with like him and his brother is pretty underwritten, I would say. Like you're having his brother be like this mob boss, and then he work for his brother, and it's like there just isn't, and there's no chemistry there. Like, it's not written to actually make this matter by the time it comes down to the end, and they don't have any face-to-face interaction before that in the movie, as far as I remember. So, like, you just get to the end and then it happens, but it's happening between two people who have not built up like any animosity really throughout the story. We haven't seen their rivalry. We haven't seen the history of their relationship. It just, it's devoid in a lot of areas that would make the movie significantly better or at least more enjoyable. And now that I've connected the dots, like, and heard some other people's comments on having watched this, I'm like, oh, I understand now. Because it's holding a 37 Metascore and a 5.5 IMDb rating, but it's only got a less than 2,000 ratings, you know? I mean, it did just come out this last weekend. But it's like, I feel like the Marshawn Lynch character and his buddy Otis has this sort of stupid but lovable thugs. Like, it could be their movie by themselves, and it would be fun. Or you get rid of the other henchman, and, like, the guy who's the Raven, doesn't bring a ton of charisma. Like, great physical screen presence in the story, and when they strip away that, and it's like he's a poet, and it's his poems that connect him to this other character, like, that's interesting, but it's happening after the fact. And just like, there's just something where, like, the alignment of the gears is just not quite lining up. Like, one of the Property Brothers is shoehorned in there. Like, maybe both of them, because they're twins, so it's possible that it was both of them, but I don't think so. Sean Astin is a good character that doesn't get enough screen time to make it matter for him. Rhys Darby, who plays Kippy, could have been more interesting. Like, Daniel Wu, who is the brother, like, great sort of character aesthetic in the way that he looks, but just not enough. Like, great, he loves drinking boba, and it's like, I get that that's like a running joke throughout the movie, but just something doesn't click, and I really wish that it did. But I did like Leo Tipton, who played Ashley. She was good because she's like the assistant that's like, I've been pushed to my breaking point. This shit is hitting the fan. And then she sort of gets pulled into this in a way that she doesn't want. So it just feels like maybe there's too many characters for this movie. And then rather than investing in developing the characters that matter the most, you're sort of spreading yourself thin by giving like a little bit of all of these characters.
Yeah, like not having enough content for the priorities, essentially. Like, too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, because even the guy who plays Merlot, Cam Gigandet, he is usually like a pretty good asshole when he wants to be. And again, he has the aesthetic here of being a good asshole, and he's got like the side story going on, but he's like not in the movie enough to make it count. So I'm like, just give me more. And like I said, the movie's, well, I told you beforehand, the movie's an hour 20 something minutes, so usually I'm like, hey, sub 90 minutes, solid. But like, this is a movie that needed to be 2.5 hours long, or at least get to 2 hours, because there's a lot of stuff that you left on the table. But like, the action sequences are really good. It's fun. It's violent. And it's choreographed well. So if you want to see it for those reasons, like, yeah, by all means, go and see it for those reasons. But in terms of it being sort of like a Valentine's movie,
not at all.
Yeah, like him, like Key and Ariana DeBose, like, they have no chemistry. Like,
yeah,
they're both good actors. They just don't work together very well in this.
Yeah,
because it's like, do I want to cheer for them? Like, I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know. I'm trying to cheer for somebody in this. I'm cheering for Key to, like, get what he wants, because he seems to be hopelessly in love with her. But again, like, there's not a ton to, like, hang your hat on when it comes to that storyline either. It's just, we take his word for it that he was in love with her when they used to work together.
Yeah, and I think the way that, like, we see her character introduced with her, like, bitter and angry and, like...
Tasering people?
Yeah, and the... No, well, and the drawing on him and stuff like that. It's like... at least for me, like, I couldn't even enjoy that because I had no context, like you're saying. Like, there was no like, backstory for them. And not that we necessarily need it all, because that would have probably taken up the whole movie in general. But some of it would have helped, because that wasn't even funny, because I didn't understand or I didn't know, like, the context of their relationship yet.
Yeah, I feel like... In a story like this, it may have helped to have them be former lovers, so that there is like an implied level of chemistry between them before they start. But the fact that it was like this unrequited love on one end means that it's all one-sided. And so by the time she shows up, all we've seen her do is like deface all of his posters around town and then tase him. And then he wakes up in her bar or something like that. And we hear his voiceover monologue saying how much like he has been in love with her. And then we hear her saying that like he looks cute, and like we hear her internal monologue. But when they're actually on screen together, there isn't like any worthwhile flirtation or like magnetism. And a lot of the final scene of the movie, where it would have been good to like actually see them maybe like double team the situation when they needed to, they're both mostly like in opposite directions in this final sequence. Like, he's doing his thing over here, she's doing her thing over there. And then, so it's not like even they just like run into each other and they're like, hey, we're kind of like, we're vibing here and we're having chemistry through this like fight sequence. Or there's not moments where they sort of have that happen and then there's like a exchange of a smile or something, or like an intimate touch, or like cleaning blood off of her face, or so many different ways that you could have really just inserted little tiny bits of chemistry in there. And yeah, ultimately disappointing, unfortunately. I wasn't like super hyped about it or anything, so the bar wasn't even that high to get over. And I feel like I really got more enjoyment out of Marshawn and his buddy being like the weirdest two hitmen that you could imagine.
Yeah, the guy that he did it with was
Andre Erickson, who plays Otis.
Yeah, he's from the OC.
Oh, gotcha.
He played that kind of guy on the OC temporarily.
He's kind of like a mobster or something, but
no, he was like a teen bully.
Okay. Yeah,
high school bully.
Wanted it to be more.
Yeah, bummer. It's okay.
It is. I hope that this isn't the thing that it's like, oh, we tried to give you your own movie, Key, and sorry, we fucked it up.
I mean, I was excited too about it being like an hour 20 something minutes, but. Yeah, it probably should have been a little longer.
Yeah, a movie that's an hour and 20-something minutes should never feel slow. And this movie felt slow, unfortunately.
Very true. I mean, I will admit, I did doze, unfortunately. And I kept opening my eyes being like, it's not over yet.
Yes, that's not necessarily a condemnation of the film, but I was also getting sleepy. And it just like, I should not be getting sleepy during that movie.
Yeah.
So.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Indeed. Well, that's the end of the movies that we saw. But then because it's a Monday and we're circling back, there are some movies that we had the opportunity to see that came out last weekend. Like Hard Eyes. We flipped a coin basically and this one out over Hard Eyes. And maybe Hard Eyes would have been the right choice, because at least there would be graphic murdering.
Yeah.
Although this movie had some of that too.
Yeah.
But I feel like Hard Eyes, we sort of already know what we're going to get.
Yeah.
And I just expect to get that. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the wrong idea, but that's out. We got Becoming Led Zeppelin is going to go to IMAX. So if you're a Led Zeppelin fan, I mean, that's something that's worth checking out. Parasite is getting an IMAX re-release.
Is it?
As well. Yeah, might be worth checking out, because I think, what is it, the five-year?
Why are they doing a re-release only 5 years later?
I don't know. Maybe because what's his face? Bong. Bong Joon-ho, the director. He's got Mickey 17 coming out this year, which is like the only movie I'm really actually anticipating.
Okay.
We've seen the trailer for it. It's the one with our Pats.
With what?
Robert Pattinson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They played the trailer before this movie. Yeah. We've got Armand coming out with, what's her name? Henate Hensve. Yeah. She was in A Different Man as well. Worst Person in the World. So it looks intense. Just like a school thriller. School thriller from Norway. There you go. We got Bring 'Em Down, which is starring Barry Keoghan and Christopher Abbott. So,
interesting.
I mean, it could be hot garbage, but I would still go see it just to see what the two of them are up to. Always. You know, I clicked on the first link, which was for something else, and it kept bringing up the Jonathan Majors movie. And it was like, this movie doesn't even come out till March. You got the wrong link up here. It's like Magazine Dreams is not coming out this weekend. We got Jazzy, coming-of-age indie comedy with Lily Gladstone. Mm. Kidnapping Inc. seems funny in that it's Haitian, or it's at least set on Haiti. And you kind of have the two, it looks like, bumbling, clumsy type of hitmen trying to do something. So, yeah, I don't know if we'll even get a release out here for us for that, but it's possible. And then A24 is doing a Parthenope or Parthenope, something like that.
I don't think I've seen a trailer for that one yet.
Yeah, it's the trailer doesn't really do much for it, but it is Italian. And I mean, Gary Oldman's in it, so maybe, but it's mostly in Italian. So
interesting.
Yeah. Remains to be seen, but we'll get there eventually. There is a looks like a straight to video hot garbage sci-fi movie called Renner with Frankie Muniz, who whatever, don't give a shit about Frankie. Mm-mm. I do love Malcolm in the Middle though. I'll die on that hill. But yeah. It would be a weird pivot for me to swing back and somehow watch that movie. And this one, if I'm going to pick a weird sci-fi movie, it would be this one, which is more non-sci-fi. It's called When I'm Ready, and it's like they get news that an asteroid is going to pulverize the planet. And so they kind of just spend it like it's their last days on Earth, breaking into places. Dermot Mulroney pops up in it eventually. Oh. But yeah, the two main actors, I don't know who these people are. Andrew Ortenberg and June Schreiner. I don't know. But Mulroney sneaks in there. And
I'm in it for Mulroney.
Yeah, so it seems interesting. Probably we'll struggle to find an actual release for that one too, but yeah.
All right.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Look at that. Under an hour, under 40 minutes.
That's how I like it.
I know.
I know.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll catch up with some stuff. I'll watch those I'll watch those foreign international films.
They're not horror movies?
No.
Oh.
I'm tired. Okay. So the words foreign and horror just melded together. And I said horror. Just not the case.
Okay.
Still stuck on my boyfriend's back, which is not really horror either.
If you melded or if you molded those words together, you should have said
Horan. We'd be horan.
It's not that kind of show.
Not yet. I wish you all could hear the look that I just got. But yes, anyways, be safe. Go enjoy some movies. Have fun. Take care. Be well.
Happy Movie Monday.
Be good. Do good. Go Bills. Thanks to Kristen for being a trooper for as long as she has been, as I've been getting things together for our show, His, Hers, and Ours, which is a TV-only show. We're going to be trading off picks of sort of classic TV shows that we've both wanted the other person to watch for a long time and just haven't gotten around to it. And we'll do something like this too. So keep an eye out for that. And of course, thank you to everybody who took the time to listen to the episode. And please remember that the opinions expressed on this show are just that. If you enjoyed what you heard, word of mouth is still the best way to help, so please tell somebody. But liking, subscribing, and sharing the show help too. This show is an extension of thescheist.com, and if you'd like to be a guest on the show or you have something to tell me, you can contact me at info@thescheist.com or at Scheist Podcast on Twitter. And as usual, be well, stay safe, and have fun no matter how you get your movies.